So if you're one of the millions of homeowners seriously looking at putting solar panels on your roof, you've probably hit a bit of a wall. It's not the excitement wall. It's the frustration wall. The path forward feels like you're just lost in jargon and bureaucracy.
Right. You know you want the clean energy, but the how is the big question. How do you get there without, you know, wasting a ton of time and money?
Exactly. And that is precisely what we are diving into today. We've gone through a stack of guides and resources to distill this whole process down into a, well, a reliable 10-step roadmap.
It's more than just a checklist.
Yes. It's a strategy guide, really, to make sure your investment actually gives you the return and the efficiency you're looking for.
Our mission here is to demystify that whole journey for you. We're taking that 10-step plan and we're adding the crucial context, the stuff that installers don't always tell you right up front.
Okay.
We're focusing on those key checkpoints, both for compliance and for the financials, to basically turn that feeling of information overload into something you can actually use.
And what's so clear from the get-go is that the entire thing, all nine of the next steps, they all hinge on one single decision you make right at the start.
Choosing the right partner.
It's all about choosing the right partner. So let's jump right into step one, which is exactly that, choosing the right installers.
The sources we looked at are, I mean, they are relentless on this point.
They are.
This isn't just about getting a cheap quote. It's about mitigating risk, right?
Right.
And your long-term access to, well, to your money.
It's the difference between a project that saves you money for 20 years and one that just fails to qualify for the UK's most important financial incentives. It really comes down to accreditation.
Accreditation. Okay.
So you have to find professionals who are certified by the Micro Generation Certification Scheme, or MCS. If you're in the UK and you want this to pay off long term, this is just not optional.
So MCS, we hear that acronym all the time. If you're sitting down for that first meeting, what does MCS actually guarantee? And what happens if you just, you know, skip it for a cheaper local firm? Well, the MCS certification confirms that both the product, so the panels, the inverter, all that, and the installer meet these really high industry standards for quality and compliance.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the non-negotiable part is access to the Smart Export Guarantee, or SEG.
The SEG, right.
If your system isn't installed by an MCS-certified company, the big energy suppliers simply won't offer you a deal. They won't pay you for the surplus energy you send back to the grid.
Wow. So it just completely changes the financial picture.
It cripples your return on investment instantly. And on top of that, a certified installer, they're the ones who handle all the local permits and navigate what can be really complex local rules.
That's powerful. It reframes that first step not as just hiring someone, but as a mandatory financial gate you have to pass through.
Exactly.
So once you've locked in your certified team, you're on to step two, the initial consultation. This is where you, the homeowner, you lay it all out. Your needs, your budget, what you want from the system.
And this meeting, it's not just about your roof. It's about your future energy habits and, you know, the money. It's the time to talk about financing options and to really drill down into the specifics of that strategy.
So what kind of questions should you be asking?
You need to know how the proposed system size is going to affect how much surplus energy you're likely to generate. You should be asking, based on my family's usage, what percentage of power are we expecting to export under the SEG? That gives you a real sense of the income you can expect.
That's a fantastic question to have in your back pocket. Okay, so next up is step three, conducting a site assessment. This is where the science meets your roof, right?
This is where the physics tucks over from the finance, yeah. The assessment looks at three main things. First, the condition of your roof. Can it even handle the load?
Right.
Second is its orientation and size. South-facing is the dream, obviously, but now even east-west setups can be really effective.
But the most critical part of this assessment, it's shading. Shading. That seems obvious, but what's the granular detail? I mean, a tree branch blocking one panel won't knock out the whole system, will it?
Well, with older tech, yeah, it pretty much could. If one panel was shaded, the efficiency of that whole string of panels would just plummet.
Wow.
Which is why the assessment today is so rigorous. They use tools to map the sun's path across your roof all year. And if they find a high risk from, say, a neighbor's tree or another building, that discovery directly impacts the technical design they'll propose in the next step.
So it might mean you need different, more expensive gear.
Exactly. It might push them toward more advanced tech, like microinverters, to sort of get around that shading loss. You can actually find great guidance on this from the Energy Saving Trust, by the way, which is a good way to cross-reference what your installer is telling you.
Good tip. And that rigorous assessment leads right into step four.
custom solar system design, and proposal. So based on all that data, you get your personalized roadmap. What parts of this proposal should you be scrutinizing before you sign anything?
This proposal is your contract. You have to read every single line. It needs to clearly state the type of panels, the exact number, the layout on the roof, and crucially, the type of inverter.
We'll get to inverters later.
We will. And beyond the tech specs, the financial side has to be transparent. That means a detailed breakdown of the total cost, the estimated energy generation, and your projected savings. If they don't give you a clear, reasoned estimate of your annual savings and ROI, you have to ask them why.
Okay, so we've planned, we've designed, and now we hit the part everyone dreads.
Mm-hmm.
The red tape. This is where the delays can really stack up. Step 5. Securing permits and approvals.
Mm-hmm.
This is the invisible battle your installer is fighting for you. How long should you expect this step to take, and what exactly is being approved here?
You are 100% reliant on your MCS installer for this. They're coordinating with two main bodies. First is your local authority for planning permission. This is especially important if you live in, say, a conservation area or a listed building.
And the second one?
The second, and often the one that takes longer, is getting approval from the distribution network operator. Or DNO.
The DNO, that's the organization that manages the actual power lines in your area, correct? Why do they need to approve a system on my house?
Precisely. Their job is to keep the local grid stable and safe. When you install solar panels, you're not a consumer anymore. You're a generator. You're exporting power into their network.
Ah, I see.
So the DNO has to make sure that your system isn't going to destabilize things or overload the local equipment. For a standard home system, it's often just a notification, but for bigger systems, it can require a formal application, and that can easily add weeks to your timeline. You just have to be patient.
So you're basically at the mercy of the installer and the DNO.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything at all you can do to speed this up, or are you just stuck waiting?
You are mostly waiting, yeah. But you can avoid unnecessary delays. Make sure all your property details are correct. Give your installer your meter readings and old energy bills right away. Any missing information from your side brings the whole DNO application to a dead stop.
Okay, that's good to know. And this is where it gets really interesting for me. Step 6, arranging utility interconnection and export payments. So the DNO handles the physical safety, but who handles the money?
So once the DNO gives the technical sign-off, that's the safety check done, the next conversation is with your electricity supplier.
The company that sends the bill.
The very same. This agreement is what makes the whole thing work. It lets you draw power from the grid at night, and more importantly, it's the mechanism that lets you export your surplus power back to the grid for payment.
The smart export guarantee. Let's just spend a moment here to make sure this is crystal clear, because this is the core financial driver, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Think of the SEG as a contract where your energy supplier agrees to buy back the electricity you don't use yourself.
So you can shop around for the best rate.
Yes. You shop for the best SEG tariff, which is just a price, you know, pence per kilowatt hour, that they'll pay you for every unit you export. Understanding this is crucial because this payment directly impacts your final return on investment. It's what can turn the system into a small revenue stream, not just a way to cut costs.
And now we get to the exciting part. Step 7, solar panel installation day. This is the moment all that planning becomes real, and it happens fast. I mean, 1 to 3 days is typical.
The timeline is a bit deceptive because the prep work is so thorough. First, they'll put up scaffolding and get the site ready. Then comes the mounting system.
The rails and brackets.
Right. And this system has to withstand decades of wind and rain, so it has to be rock solid. A good installer will make sure it doesn't compromise your roof's integrity at all.
And once that structure is secure, what about the electrical heart of it all?
Then the panels go on. Position just like the plan from step 3 dictated, and then the wiring starts. And it all leads to the inverter.
Okay, the inverter.
This is the technical centerpiece. See, your solar panels produce direct current DC electricity, but your home and the grid, they run on alternating current, or AC. The inverter's job is to make that conversion.
Right, and this DC to AC conversion, it's often just glossed over, but the quality of the inverter is a huge deal for efficiency, isn't it?
It's a massive deal. In the UK, you'll generally see two types. The traditional one is a string inverter. It's cheaper, and it takes the DC output from all your panels in a string and converts it in one central box.
And if you have no shading issues?
If you have zero shading, it's a great cost-effective option. But if that site assessment from step three showed any issues at all, your installer should be talking to you about microinverters.
Microinverters, what's the advantage there?
A microinverter is a tiny inverter that sits on the back of each individual panel. So if one panel gets shaded or dirty, it only affects that one panel. The rest of the system keeps running at peak performance.
So they're more expensive up front, but you get a better yield over time.
Significantly better, especially on a complicated roof. The long-term energy gain and the resistance you get from microinverters can really outweigh that higher initial cost. It's a critical detail for maximizing what you produce.
So after all that work is done, we're at step eight, final inspection and system activation. What's the last hurdle before you can flip the switch?
The system has to pass a final thorough inspection. This is usually done by your local authority's building control or sometimes the DNO themselves.
And they're just checking that everything's safe and up to code.
Exactly. They are certifying that the installation meets all the regulatory standards. It's about compliance and safety. Only after you get that final certificate can the installer officially turn the system on and walk you through how it all works.
The final bureaucratic handshake.
It's a good way to put it.
So the green light is on, the system is running. Which brings us to step nine. Monitoring and maintaining your solar panels. Do you really have to get up on the roof and clean them all the time?
Thankfully, no. Maintenance is surprisingly minimal. The real key is monitoring. Most new systems come with a brilliant little app or a web portal that tracks your energy production in real time.
And that's essential for the homeowner.
It is. It lets you see if the system is performing the way it was projected to. And more importantly, you can spot any dips in efficiency right away. It might signal a fault, or maybe just that a tree has grown a bit too much.
So maintenance is less about a bucket and sponge and more about checking your phone.
Pretty much. You're just looking for consistency. Proactive monitoring means you catch any small problems before they become big ones, which maximizes your uptime and, you know, your financial returns. It also helps you change your habits, like running the dishwasher when the sun is brightest to use your own free power.
And that brings us to the end of the road. Step 10. After all the planning, the permits, the wiring, and the waiting, the payoff, what does this whole process actually deliver for you, the homeowner?
This is where it all comes together. The financial benefits are, they're really significant. First, your electricity bills are dramatically lower because you're generating your own power.
Obvious one.
Second, you get that reliable income stream from the SEG payments for any surplus energy you export back to the grid.
But the benefits go deeper than just the monthly bills, don't they?
They absolutely do. A solar installation is a strategic asset. It's a hedge against future energy price rises. You're essentially locking in a big chunk of your energy costs today.
Insulating yourself from the market.
Exactly. And beyond that, there's the impact on your property value. The sources we looked at are clear that solar panels consistently improve a home's energy performance certificate, or EPC rating. That makes your house more attractive to buyers. You're adding real, tangible value.
So this whole journey, which can feel like a fog of contractors and rules, is really a structured path to not just savings, but to resilience.
A meaningful step toward an active role in a sustainable future.
So, to summarize our deep dive, the path to solar success is these 10 clear steps. But the really informed decisions you make at the beginning, getting that MCS certified installer, understanding the SEG, and knowing the technical limits of your own roof, that's what truly determines your long-term success.
And that's the core idea to take away. Understanding the complexity of it all and focusing on the compliance aspect, that's what ensures you maximize the return on what is, let's face it, a significant investment.
A big project.
It is. And success really comes down to doing your homework and choosing experienced guides who understand all those nuances.
So here is the final thought we want to leave you with. Try not to think of installing solar panels as just an upgrade for your roof.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it as fundamentally transforming your relationship with energy. By going through these 10 steps, you switch from being a passive consumer of a volatile product to being an active producer.
A generator.
A generator. That is a level of control over your home's future that really the previous generation could only dream of. And the time to seize that control is now.